One of the privileges, one of the joys that I have as your pastor is to find myself in the spot that I found myself in late Tuesday morning. Knowing that there would be things I would be doing, but I wasn't there, and I couldn't. But very quickly, I'm hearing Tim and Joyce are there, Dan's there, others are there, and I call this guy, and I tell him what's happened, and I said, Dave, can you go? And God is good. Dave was working from home. And he went. And he's been there a couple of times. And when I got back, he said, I don't want to impose and preach on Sunday. And I said, he always sends me, and Pastor John, he sends me the notes. And I said, Dave, you didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. But God has given you exactly what we need to hear today. Exactly. And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, I do. And he said, okay. Because that's the guy you are. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're listening, yeah. Man.
Okay. Thanks. Good morning, everybody. Well, for our time in the Word this morning, we'll be in John chapter 13. That's John chapter 13, and the title of this message is Serve One Another. And you know, when I started putting this message together a few weeks ago, getting some thoughts around, little did I know that you guys would be teaching me so much more about how to serve one another than I could communicate to you in a bunch of messages. And I just wanted you guys to know that many of you have helped put this message together, even though you don't know it yet. So thank you for that. Serve one another. John chapter 13. And while you guys may be finishing up turning to John chapter 13, let me ask you a question. When you think back on your life, who are those people that stood out to you that helped you learn how to serve? That helped you learn how to serve well? And you know, for me, there's a bunch of folks, and I'm sure it's the same with you guys. A couple that stand out to me, actually, you might not think of, they're the managers on my college basketball team. Those guys were unbelievable. I mean, after every single practice, they washed all of our dirty laundry. They got everything ready for the games, the uniforms. They packed everything, made sure that we had everything we need. When we went on a road trip, uniforms, warm-ups, filled our water bottles, you name it. You know, they never really got much credit at all for what they did. I mean, they were amazing. They had a real servant's heart, and they stand out to me as someone who helped me learn how to serve other people. But you know, there was one time that my basketball team in college ran into some managers that didn't have a servant's heart. Okay, let me tell you about that. Our team had driven into Chicago. We were going to play another college in downtown Chicago. And as our bus drove through Chicago and towards this other college that we were going to play, we realized that, we're not in Kansas anymore. This doesn't really look like where we came from. And things were getting a little sketchy, if you know what I mean. If you look out the window and graffiti all over the place, and kind of our goals as a team were shifting from, we need to win this game. Our goals were shifting from that to more of, We just want to get out of here safely after the game, okay? That was our main goal. But we got to the college in this sketchy part of town. We walked in, and the managers from the other team came up to us, and they said, hey, we'll help you out. Would you like us to fill your water bottles? And we thought, what a cool gesture that these managers from the other college want to fill our water bottles for us. And our managers had a lot to do. There's a lot to do to get ready for a game. They said, sure, that'd be great. Thanks for your help. What a fantastic gesture that was. Or at least it seemed that way until the first time out of the game. Okay? We're out there playing. The first time out is called. All of us players come over to the bench. We grab our water bottles that the managers from the other team had filled, and we take our first drink, and we realize that the managers had filled those water bottles with steaming hot water for us. It just about scalded our throats when we put it in our mouths. They did not serve well. But you know what? We want to serve each other well, don't we? We want to be good managers, not bad ones. And especially as brothers and sisters in Christ, that should be our goal, and I know it is, to serve one another well. And so as we look at John chapter 13 today, keep in mind what Jesus has for us by way of instruction on how we go about doing that, on how we serve each other well, okay? Look at John chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 1 to 17 of John chapter 13. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now by the time of supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, and that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, and tied that towel around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing, you don't understand now, but afterward you will. You will never wash my feet, ever, Peter said. Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter answered and said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. One who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you, for he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, you are not all clean. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and this is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And that's our passage for today. Let's pause for a moment, just in a brief word of prayer. Lord, we come to you today, not having anything to bring to you. But God, would you teach us? Would you teach me? Would you teach us as a congregation today through the ministry of your Spirit so that we would leave here as better servants of you, God? Would you help us as we do that together this morning? We ask this in your name. Amen. Now, it's important what we just read, the passage that we just read of the foot washing. just to put a little bit of context with that, within 24 hours of what we just read, Jesus will be hanging on a cross. Within 24 hours. And so I think how amazing it is to me to think about those last moments that he had with the disciples, that he chose to do what he did and wash their feet, to illustrate for them and for us the absolute necessity of serving others. The absolute necessity of serving others. These disciples were about to go through the ringer. Jesus knew that their world as they know it was about to fall apart. And he also knew that as they loved one another and served one another, that was one of the things that was going to get them through that. And so he illustrates for us the importance of serving one another. And I want to look today at three principles that can help us, I think, serve one another well as we strive to do that with each other. And the first principle of serving one another well we find in chapter 13 in verse 1. Look at the second part of verse 1 there. He says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I like verses like that because that's down at my level, man. I can understand that. He loved them to the end. And I'm told that that doesn't just mean that Jesus loved these disciples to the end of his life, even though he did. He loved them with an intensity. He loved them to the utmost. And I think how cool it is that John prefaces this whole illustration of service to one another by grounding the whole thing in Christ's intense, genuine love for the disciples. And that's our first principle that I see in here that will help us serve one another well, is we must be rooted in genuine love, just like Christ was. And it reminded me of another passage, and I just want to read this to you real quick. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. And it's Paul praying for the church. I know I'm not giving you much context there, but Paul is praying for the church. And listen to what he says. Paul says, I pray that you, the church, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And man, that goes right along with what we just heard from Christ. It was being rooted and grounded in the love of Christ that was going to empower the church not only to know God, but to be filled with his fullness. That was the power. That was the foundation. Like Rick talked about, the feet planted firmly in the love of Christ. Okay? If we're going to serve each other well, we have to be rooted and grounded in genuine love. Behind my barn, we have a 3-acre field. Well, just a little field. And most of that field is clay. The soil there is clay, and it grows okay crops. But there's a little strip of soil on a ridge that runs right down the middle of that field. And it's not big. That strip of soil is about 20 feet wide, and it's about 100 yards long. And it's what we call sugar sand. Some of you might know what that's like in a field. And on that little strip in my field, you can plant soybeans there, and they won't grow. You can plant corn there, and it won't grow. You can put extra fertilizer on it when you plant, and it won't grow. Even the weeds will not grow, and that amazes me. That strip of soil, I've always thought, is like the perfect illustration of what happens when we try to serve one another, but we are not rooted in the love of Christ. Whatever you're planting, it's not going to grow. It's not going to happen. But, and I'm glad there's a but here's the good part. As you and I serve one another, being rooted firmly in genuine Christ-like love, when we do that, when we love each other, when we're kind to one another, when we speak kindly to one another, when we help one another, when we pray for one another, man, not only is that a pleasing offering to God, that is the greatest witness that we have to a world in need. The greatest witness that we have. Just a little bit later in this chapter, let me read you what Christ is about to tell these disciples. He says, "I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another." And here it is. "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." As we serve one another, be rooted and grounded in genuine Christ-like love. That's principle number one, okay? Now, principle number two, I want to look at really verses 14 and 15, I would say. John chapter 13, look at verse 14. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, and then he says, "So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." And that's our second principle that we see right there in verse 15. We follow Christ's example. We're rooted in genuine love as we serve one another. And number two, we follow Christ's example. Now, that seems pretty straightforward. You're like, okay, that's not really anything new, Dave. That's easy to talk about. It's harder to do, isn't it? Let me talk about Christ's example a little bit. You see, he wanted us to follow his example. So we have to stay rooted in love, and we follow Christ's example. And I think it's important to know that those two things are related. Christ's love and his example for us are related. Let me read you this. This is from John chapter 15. He says, "This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you." Okay, there's being rooted in love, right? He just referenced that, be rooted in love, but he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with being rooted in love. He goes on and he says, you know what? "And no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." And what hit me about that was, as we put these two things together from that verse, it was Christ's love that motivated his service. That is our example of service being motivated by love. And how much love was that? Well, let me go on. You guys can help me with this. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." He did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's a pretty high standard for service, isn't it? That he would give his life for his friends. "Greater love has no man than this, that he would give his life for his friends." That convicts me in my own life. I don't know if it does you. That kind of service and that kind of love. Because it's one thing for me to tell you, "Hey, I love you, man." It's one thing for me to have good intentions. "Oh, yeah, I was going to get over there and help you with that." But the great thing about Christ's love is that it was demonstrated. He didn't just talk about it. It was demonstrated towards us while we were enemies of God. Genuine love produces genuine service always. I'm going to say that one more time for myself. Genuine love produces genuine service. Always. Okay. Principle number one, be rooted and grounded in Christ-like love. Principle number two, follow Christ's example of service motivated by love. Principle number three I want to look at. Let's look at verse 14, John chapter 13. Actually, verse 16, sorry. Jesus says in verse 16, I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. Principle number three, as we seek to serve one another well in the church, understand our relationship to God. Understand our relationship to God, because Jesus has just established for these disciples, hey, teacher and Lord, it's good that you say that because I am. I really am. I'm your teacher and Lord. And then I think as just a further explanation of what it means to follow Christ's example, he gives them two illustrations, one of a slave and the other of a messenger. Okay? And our relationship to Christ is seen in those two things in a couple ways here. First of all, let's just think through this together. If I'm a slave of God, well, the mission of a slave is to do what the master wants him to. Does that make sense? And as a slave of God, I have no right to treat you in a way that is not consistent with the will of the master, if that makes sense. I have no right. Jesus says, no. My will is what you are to follow. I have no right to depart from that in my interactions with my fellow believers. I'm to be a slave of God. Okay? And here's the thing that kind of hits me hard about this. If I am a slave of the master, and the master is the ultimate servant, the master was willing to empty himself, to come to earth, to serve others, to wash our feet. If the master is willing to give up all of his rights for others, how ridiculous is it if the slave wants to keep all his rights? That hits me pretty hard. We are slaves of the ultimate servant. I should be more concerned with the well-being of others than keeping my own rights. That is hard for me sometimes. It is. We understand our relationship to God. A slave must always be on mission. We must always be on mission. And you know, it's a little bit the same with messengers, okay? Christ is kind of giving us illustrations, I think, of our relationship to God as slaves and a messenger. Now, before email and before phone calls and all that good stuff, the mission of a messenger was to take the message from someone in authority, like a king, take that message and deliver it to someone else over here, right? You all know that. Now, the messenger was not supposed to add anything to the message. He was not supposed to take anything away from the message. He was not supposed to change the message that he had been given in any way when he distributed that to others. That make sense? And so it is with us. As messengers of God, we've been given the best, most hopeful message on the entire planet. Okay? That is ours. We have been entrusted with that to deliver it to others. And here's the problem. Here's my problem. It's always a problem, isn't there? It's always a problem. Now, I know nobody in here is like this, but I am. Sometimes, if those around me treat me in a way that I'm not happy with, I'm tempted to say this. I'm tempted to say, you know what? I got a message for you. Okay. Some of you are with me on that. I'm tempted to say, you know what? I've got a message for you. And that message that I'm tempted to share with them, it does not line up. It does not line up with the message that I've been entrusted with. And Jesus tells us, as a messenger, you, Dave, you have no right. You have no right to speak to other people in a way that is not consistent with the message that I have given you. And when so I lose my cool and I talk to one of you or anyone in a way that is not consistent with the message he's given me, you know what? I think Christ would say, you are guilty. You are guilty of falsifying the message that I have given you, Dave. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But the good thing is, when you and I, when we speak to one another in kindness, in love, always in truth. But when we speak to one another in a way that's consistent with the message of reconciliation that God has given us to share. Oh man, what a fantastic thing that is, that we get to participate in Jesus giving the message of salvation to everyone else. Don't falsify it. Be on mission as a slave. Be on message as a messenger. Let me encourage you in that as I encourage myself. Be on mission and be on message. Be grounded, rooted in Christ-like love. Follow Christ's example. Love motivating ultimate service. Understand our relationship to God as slaves and messengers entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. Those are three principles that help us serve one another well. So where do we go from there? What do we do? What do we do with those things? Well, in application, I think this is where I'm supposed to challenge you guys to do something, okay? Let me do something just a little bit different today. Let me say this. Keep it up. This wasn't my message this week. Hopefully it's always God's message to us. This is your message to me, man. Keep it up. Some of you have friends that tattle on you and tell me how you have served them. This is your message. Keep loving one another. Keep serving one another. Keep being kind to one another. Keep helping one another. Keep praying for one another. It's clear to me, I don't know all of you real well, but I know enough about this congregation to know. There are a lot of roots here that run really deep into the good soil of Christ-like love. Keep it up. You're doing it. Keep doing it. Stick together. Don't let anything come between you. Love one another, be kind to one another, and keep looking to the example of the ultimate servant. And as we do that, we'll be able to serve one another well. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your example. I thank you for the ways which I've seen this church serving one another well. Would you help and encourage us all just to continue in that, Lord, and that you, by your Spirit, would keep ministering to us and that we would be found faithful slaves and messengers of the message that you have given us. And we will thank you and praise you for it. Amen.